Blog Talk Radio.
So then you're coming to see her.
to take advantage of every opportunity that God opens. As Israel sent Jacob to check out his sons and the flock, God is sending us out one day at a time. When we get up in the morning and he allows us to dress ourselves, we're clothed in our right mind, he's got a job assignment, he's sending us out. He's already set everything in place, and we're thinking we're just going to work. But are we remembering not just the secular work, but the spiritual work as well?
Yes.
There's a job, there's something God would have us to do, and he's sending us out. And we're going out, but we're finding that
the number you have dialed has not been
day,
recognized.
You go
please
out.
Please try again.
Not knowing that your whole life is about to change. Your whole life is about to change. I went to work, had a little pain, you know, nothing really to complain about. And little did I know, within 2 hours, I would be in a hospital emergency room screaming. The pain was so excruciating. Little did I know that I wouldn't be sleeping in my own bed that night. Little did I know that there was going to be 2 surgeries involved. Little did I know that all this would take place, but yet with a purpose. My wife and I were constantly talking about this time that I have been in, which it's going to be about a month. It's coming up on about a month. And we're looking at all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us in so many ways, but it all started with some pain and suffering. And even the pain that people describe when you get those kidney stones, I was telling the surgeon, hey, I have to be in Columbus on Sunday to preach, and my heart's desire was to be here. I know Minister Blake was prepared and ready. We contacted her, but I knew that this was something that God wanted me to do. But I said, God, I can't do it with this pain. And God intervened. And the whole time I was in that hospital, they were giving me every 2 hours morphine and some other medication. But to their surprise, every time they came into my room, I was sitting on the edge of my bed studying the scriptures.
Amen.
And they sat there trying to figure out, how is it that this guy is even conscious? In the best way that I could have, I let them know that it's God. It's God. So he sent me home with a medication, the strongest medication they can send you home with. But then I learned that in traveling to Columbus, I didn't take it. And I'm like, wow, God has totally eliminated the pain. And yet he said the stone was still in there. And I thought, now I went to the hospital screaming because of this stone that was in there. How is it that I'm on the way to preach God's word, stone's still in there, but I'm feeling no pain? It can't be nothing but God.
Amen.
Nothing but God.
Amen.
And to prove it, halfway back home, here comes the pain. I had to rejoice. God, you're still good. Because you enabled me to do what you had called me to do, but not without pain and suffering. Amen. We can rejoice even in our times of pain and suffering if we see our suffering through God's eyes. It makes all the difference in the world. I took that medication halfway home, and I pulled over and said, oh, honey, I said, I'm going to take half of it, but here, you're going to have to drive. Well, you know, I needed a driver, an alert driver. A driver that was awake. Bless her heart. She tries so hard. But this pain and this medication, I didn't know how it was going to affect me. And I said, honey, you have to drive. And I pulled over and I took half of it. I could make it home with maybe one eye. But the Lord blessed. When she usually goes to sleep, she was wide awake. Got us home, seemed like in no time. Again, we were able to witness the power of God. I'm like, God is so good, but it cost a little pain and suffering. And we've just been witnessing day after day how God has used this time, the time to study the Word, the time to meditate on the Word, the time to fellowship with the saints. Oh, God has been so good through this time, but it started out with pain and suffering. And so we're looking at Joseph here. God, the Father had blessed him, and yet now it's turned to a time of pain and suffering. It appeared that those that are evil, those that are wicked, was having their way because they threw him in the pit.
Right.
Now you might wonder, well, God is with me, never leave me nor forsake me. Good question. No doubt Joseph was down there. He at least tried, being human, to get out of this pit. But the first blessing in the pit was there was no water. Because if they threw him in there with water, he'd be out. But it was dry. First blessing. Second blessing, he had a brother, one of the 11, who was going to get him out in time. So I'm looking at Joseph and I'm wondering, how is he responding to this pit?
Right.
But here's one who's been shown favor, who's been blessed by his Father, who has a relationship with his Heavenly Father, who has given him a dream that Joseph knows can't come to pass if I am to end my life in this pit. He had no clue how or when he would get out of the pit, but because of his faith in this vision, in this dream that he had, he knew that somehow God was going to meet him right where he was and deliver him out of the pit.
Amen.
You remember Abraham when he was given his son Isaac and asked to sacrifice him at a time they had just bonded. Oh, he's just getting, he loved his son so much, and now he's asked by his Heavenly Father, the one who gave him this son, the one who made a promise that his seed would multiply as the stars of heaven, but now he's asking him to do something that you would think would cause confusion, but we know God's not an author of confusion, but he tells him to sacrifice him. I liked Abraham because he didn't try to reason or try to get an explanation. He was obedient immediately, the scripture said, immediately. He didn't hang around and drag around that morning, but he got up early. He got everything as God had declared, and he was on his way to make that sacrifice of his only son, the only one who he could have possibly been blessed. He was the blessed seed, but God's now asking him to sacrifice him. But what blessed me was he's about ready to go up to make the sacrifice. And he looks back to his help, and he says to them, wait here, we will be back. That's faith. That's faith. He has a heart surrendered to the will of God. He's got everything together. He's going to sacrifice his son. As a matter of fact, Isaac's wondering, Dad, you know, we got everything. Everything's ready, but where's the sacrifice? Son had no clue that he was the sacrifice. But Abraham, he still wasn't moved. He still had faith. He didn't know but one thing, be obedient to God's direction. And so what did Abraham do? He put his son on the altar. He raised his hand. He was going to execute God's order. But right when he was about to execute, God stayed his hand. On God being a moment late. We need only to keep the faith and obey whatever it is God is calling us to do. Abraham had no explanation for what was about to take place. He only had a promise, but he had a faith to go along with that promise that enabled him to do everything God asked him to do, even to take that which he loved dear to his heart. But when God recognized that Abraham loved God more than even his own son, then God halted his hand and provided that sacrifice, that ram in the bush. I was encouraged then. I'm looking at Joseph. He's in the pit. He's encouraged by a promise, a dream. And he can't figure it out, but he's waiting on God in the pit. I don't know about you, but there's been pits in my life, and I have to admit, the first thought is how I'm going to get out this pit. I don't know if that's just human nature to want to get out. But God, if he's put you in there, oh, wait a minute. God put you in a pit? Now, that's really something I have to deal with. God loves me. He's my father. Why would he put me in a pit? It was suggested by the brethren that he was put in the pit to die. But God didn't have him in the pit to die. That was just the first stage to get him to his dream, to the fulfillment of this dream. When we find ourselves going through these pits in our lives, don't give way to trying to figure out the mind of God or the way of God or now how's this going to work together for the good. Just trust God.
Yes.
Just wait on the Lord.
Yes.
Just be of good courage.
Yes.
Don't worry. God's grace is always sufficient.
Yes.
There's enough of God's grace, enough of his presence, enough of his love, enough favor, enough blessing. God will keep us even in our pits. So you know the story? That pit was the first work of God. All this we'll see was orchestrated by God. All of it. And so he's in the pit. Now he's out of the pit. And you're thinking, wow, what a relief. Man, I thought I was gone. I mean, you can go through some things and you can think, oh, I thought I was going to lose my house. I thought I was going to lose my car. I thought I was going to lose my job. I was down to my last dime. Ooh, my last bit of milk, my last piece of meat, my last slice of bread. Ooh. And then right when it seems that everything is turning for the good and you got a little encouragement, you got a little pep in your step, you know, you got a little praise, here comes those who will put you in bondage. And you'll find yourself, it's not something you want, but it just happens. How many know that sometimes the things that we experience doesn't have anything to do with what we did, but it's something that somebody else did, and so therefore we have to suffer the consequences along with them. It happens. But know that as a child of God, nothing can happen in our lives before God says so.
Amen.
We have to be at that place where we accept, we're convinced that God is in control, not only of the timing, but the intensity of our suffering, no matter what it is. God is in control. I believe that Joseph had made up in his mind, was totally convinced God is in control. I can't understand. I can't figure out how my brothers would throw me in a pit. How my brothers would take to die, then take me out, so-called a guilty conscience, and decide, well, I think it'd be better if we sell him. That way his blood's not on our hands. And so we'll sell him to the Ishmaelites, and now he's enslaved, he's in bondage, Can you imagine when he got up in the morning and he's praising God and thanking his Father for his favor and the blessing? You know, like we get up in the morning and we just thank God for new mercies and we're just praising him all. And we go out and our whole life changes in a moment's time. Look where Joseph went to, and now he's in bondage to something that he wasn't even a part of. But it was some scheme of somebody else. But here he is. There's nothing he can do about it. It wasn't a matter of choice. He's a slave now. But we go on and we find in verse 28, when he's sold to the Ishmaelites, there in verse 28, then they're passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph's pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now look at verse 39, verse 1. Genesis 39, verse 1, it says, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, the Ishmaelites brought him down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now here he is, he went from a slave, purchased for a few pieces of silver, and now Potiphar, the captain of the guards, buys him as a personal slave. He brings him into the household, and you know the story how that God blessed him as a slave right where he was at. God blessed him from the pit, brought him out. God blessed him as the Ishmaelites took him as a slave, sold him into the house of Potiphar. God blessed him there. Potiphar was able to see the hand of God upon his life. And Potiphar said, hey, everything I have, you're in charge of. Everything. The scripture says, except his wife. Except his wife. He had power over everything except his wife. Why? Because he witnessed, Potiphar witnessed the hand of God upon his life. Don't you know, as the people of God, when we find ourselves experiencing various pitfalls in our life, when these pitfalls are orchestrated by God, that God is going to work in our life his purpose, his will, and what we will find is those round of balance will begin to recognize and acknowledge that we are, in fact, a child of God. Amen. God is present in our lives. We have God's favor. We have God's love. We have God's blessing upon our lives. And who is the favor of God? Amen. Potiphar recognized it. Those round about us, our coworkers, those in our community, those we come in contact, will recognize the hand of God upon our lives. But what happens next? What happens next? There in chapter 39, verse 20, it says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and was there in prison. You know the story how he ended up in there. Some woman saw he was a good-looking fella and desired to have him, but he wouldn't have it because he did not want to sin against God. There are those who have no problem getting all up in your face and asking of you to do something that they know you refuse to do because of your relationship with God. Amen. They know that because they have been so blessed, they're so respected, say, in the community or on the job. They have the favor of the boss man, and they don't want to dishonor that favor, but more so they don't want to dishonor God. And so they refuse. But there are those who don't care about your respect for God. They don't care about your life, your relationship, your personality, your character, your integrity. They don't care. They want what they want. They just say, give me, I want. But you have to be strong like the brother was, and you have to turn away and run. But you got to know that just because you run, you can run. That's to say, you were tempted, but you didn't yield. So you can run, but there still may be, because there's something others are doing, there still may be some consequences that you may suffer. And that's what happened here. So again, you wonder, Lord, if I didn't yield, if I didn't do anything wrong, Lord, then why, Lord, am I in prison? I could only imagine if Jesus stopped by and said, you know, I could have entertained that same thought when I was on the cross, when I was nailed hand and foot, pierced in the side, blood running wide across. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything. What did I do to deserve this? Nothing. But Joseph, he didn't whine about his place where he was at. He didn't complain. He didn't whine. Now, if you read the story, he did make a request. Now, he did say, hey, remember me now when you get out. He told one of those whom he had interpreted the dream and said, hey, when you get out of here, you know, throw a word in with the king and let him know, hey, I'm innocent here. Get me out. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to get out of the situation you're in. But like Jesus said in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the only difference. That's the only difference. It's okay. Jesus in the garden even prayed, is there any other way? This cup can pass me by. Jesus, the Son of God. It's okay to entertain those thoughts. But know that God must be number one, his will, his purpose, his time. So it's not what we want, but thy will be done. So here's Joseph. He spent that time in prison. Freedom and forgot all about him. But that's how things work out. Have you ever blessed someone? Bless them, and then at a time when they could have been a blessing to you, and in your time of need, they act like they don't know you. Act like they don't know you. Don't even remember you. Oh, what's your name again? Act like don't even know you. But see, it wasn't God's time. It wasn't God's time. The king had not dreamed his dream yet. And so in time, it shows us again, God has everything set on time to everything. There's a season and a time for every purpose, every work under the heavens. And we can see this unfold with Joseph and even in our own lives if we look. And so here's Joseph. He's called upon by the king. The scripture said he shaved, cleaned up. He's going before the king. The king shares with him his dream. But if you read that text, if you read that scripture, the first thing Joseph said was, oh, no, king, it's not me. I couldn't do it apart from God. We find ourselves in situations, and it's really only a test. It's only to strengthen our faith, but it's also for us to see where we are. Here, Joseph, he'd already interpreted two dreams, and he could have just been thinking about himself and said, hey, yeah, king, I can interpret that dream. Look at here, man, I'll interpret the dream if you get me out of this prison. No. He said, it's not me, but God. God can interpret your dream. So he turned all the focus, not on himself, but God. And so the king shared his dream, and Joseph shared the interpretation. And when it was all said and done, Joseph advised the king, a prisoner, going to tell a king what he thinks he ought to do. But that king was all ears. Why? Because no one in his kingdom could interpret his dream. None of them could help him in his time of need. Listen, we will be the only ones that will be able to step in and do what God needs to be done, because it was ordained for us to do. us alone. That was for Jacob. That was for Joseph alone. Nobody else could do the work that God had put in place but Joseph. That was what God had orchestrated to get Joseph out of prison and in that position as a spokesperson of God and an authority in a time when his people as a whole would need help. And so here's Joseph. He's now given all authority again. I noticed that in Potiphar's house, he was given all authority. And Potiphar reaped the blessings of God because of Joseph. Don't you want others to be blessed as a result of your relationship with God?
Amen.
What a joy, what a blessing, what an opportunity, what a privilege to hear others testify of the goodness of the Lord because of their coming in contact with you. God used you in their life at a time of need. So here's Joseph. He's now come to that place where his dream at 17 years old has now come to pass. And read the story on. It's a good story. You probably that he had, that he held on to, that he wouldn't allow his brother and those who would come against him or rebuke him, even his father, no matter who it was, he would not be moved from that dream. And now here he is. Although he's gone through all this pain and suffering, he's witnessed how God has blessed him through it all. No matter what we find ourselves, what pit we find ourselves in, if we remain in fellowship with God, in fellowship with his people, don't forsake the church. Make sure you're in the church.
Amen.
The church, the body of Christ. Yes, find a Bible-based, Bible-teaching church congregation. Be in fellowship. Don't sit home on the stool and do nothing. Unite yourself. We need one another.
Amen.
It will bring us to the fulfillment of our dream, our purpose, our place in Christ Jesus. We see this in the life of Joseph. So in closing, can we rejoice? Yes, in the time of trouble. That pain and suffering had me screaming. But I could rejoice in knowing that God is in control. I might ask the question, how long? How much more? But when I know, when I'm convinced that God is in control, that's my peace. That's my joy. That's more than any medication can do for me, to know that God is in control. He has a specific purpose for allowing this thing. And now I'm witnessing, my wife and I were witnessing, we thought one thing, that it was just all about a kidney stone, but we've come to learn that there was so much more involved than just that kidney stone. That was just the pain and suffering. But keeping the faith and trusting God, now we're being blessed of God and we're growing in his word. We're growing in our faith and trusting God, even in most painful situations. But we've come to know that God uses pain and hardship to equip us, to encourage us, that we might be a blessing to others. You hear sometimes in prayer, Lord, bless us and make us a blessing. We not just want it all for ourselves, but we want to be blessed that we might be a blessing. We want to be used to the glory of God. We want to be influential in the lives of others. We want to do those things that will bring praise, glory, and honor unto God, not ourselves. We're not looking to be exalted, lifted up by man, because they can lift you up today and drop you that afternoon.
Amen.
Look at the trials. as an opportunity to demonstrate perseverance under pressure. Perseverance. If God is in control, if God is orchestrating what you're going through, and understand some things we experience because of bad choices we made. It's called consequences. You know, it could be something that somebody else has done. But I'm saying if God is orchestrating this thing, if God is orchestrating this thing, then we can know that this is just another opportunity that God has made available to us to demonstrate perseverance under pressure. We can do this by God's grace. By God's grace. We can cry out. Paul was a mighty man of God. And he said, I cried out 3 times that this thorn be removed from me. 3 times. But God told me over and over, my grace is sufficient. I have enough power. We have enough power, enough strength to withstand any danger that we might face. God's grace is sufficient to see us through whatever that thorn might be in our flesh. This morning, we trust that something has been said. My prayer is that the Spirit of God, knowing where each one of us are in our relationship with Him, knowing the thorns that we have been given, put in our life, the pits that we have found ourselves in the past, or maybe the pits that we're in the present, that something has been said to encourage us to go through, continue to press the battle on, to know God's walking with us through every phase of our most difficult trials. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Our hardships will help us measure our own spiritual growth. There's so much to be learned from these pits, but it starts here and ends here. Get in the Word of God, and we can be encouraged and made strong that even in this 21st century, no matter where you might find yourself, what pit you might be in, what thorn might be in your flesh, we can learn from it, and we can bring praise, glory, and honor unto God. God bless you. Be encouraged.
Amen. Let us stand. I want to thank the Lord. Word of God that has gone forth. And as we're standing, let our mind focus on where the minister spoke about. Christ went to a cross. And as he was up on that cross, he thought about me and you. He didn't think about himself. As he spoke about Joseph being in the midst of life. But he kept his mind focused on the dream that God had told him that would come true. So many things God has blessed us and shown us. But at this time, let us think about the Lord and how he stayed up on that cross.
Yes.
When he agonized about going there in the garden. But he realized that how would the scriptures be fulfilled? The scriptures of salvation, deliverance of man, all those stars of the sky that he promised to Abraham that would be blessed in faith. So let our faith stand up this day. If we have something, if we need to come before the Lord in prayer and ask him to help us with this pit or this something that is in our life that is troubling us. We may just need to get out of sin this morning, whoever it may be. Let us come and yield our lives to the Lord. The message was a wonderful message that gave us guidance and understanding that we have to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for all our strength and all our help is going to come.
Yes, yes.
So let us take this time to think about that. Is anyone here thankful for the soul that has come to the altar? The message that he wanted to bow before the Lord and talk with God about. Is there another who would come and ask the Lord to help them? Something going on in our lives that is a pit in the life. Sin is a pit. And those of us that are saved, you might just have something that you need to just talk to God about. It may not be sin in that life, but it may be just something you want to refresh with God. You want to stay on the path. You realize if you told me in a dream or something to do something, and I'm found in this, let me keep focused on what you told me that I was going to have to do.
My God.
Because you're going to see me through this that I get done, which you said that I was going to do down the road. That's where our faith is, in God. We thank the Lord for being here. We thank the Lord for the well-preached message, the understood message. And at this time, we'll look to the Lord and praise Him. Our kind, most gracious Heavenly Father, as we come, we want to thank you, dear Father, the word of God that you have allowed to go forth this grant. You have sent your word, and you said your word would not return unto you void.
Yes.
And so we know that your word was upon listening ears and listening hearts and listening minds this morning. And we know that it was able to do the work that it was sent to do. And we're thankful for the soul that's at the altar right now, dear Father. We ask that thou will minister unto her this morning, dear Lord.
Yes.
The heaviness that may be up on her heart. We ask that you will bless and look down with favor and remember her in a mighty and a special way. And thankful for her faith to get up and come before thee.
Yes, Lord.
On a bended knee, dear Father. You said one day all knees are going to bow. So let them knees bow even now before time, that we can look to thee and get help before that day when your knee bows and you're not right, it's not going to help you anyway. So we're just thankful, dear Father, for this dear sister that's at the altar. That's something that's heavy upon her heart. We ask that we remember her in a mighty and a special way.
Bless her, Lord.
Remember her parents. We know that that's heavy on her heart. Remember her in body. We know that she's gone through a surgery, but she's also still has maybe some back pains and different things that may still be troubling, dear Father. So we lift her up, dear Lord,
bless
in the name of Jesus this morning, that you will bless her and she's before thee and asking thee to guide and direct and rule in her life.
Yes.
Always. Have thine own divine way. Remember each and every soul that's standing here before you this morning, dear Lord, that has heard your word. There's a portion in there that each and every one of us got somewhere. And if you don't recognize it today, you might recognize it tomorrow. And if you don't recognize it on Monday, it might come Tuesday or Wednesday, Thursday or Friday. We just never know. God sets up things beforehand that he may show us how he is able to take care of us and see us through. So we pray that you will bless and have thine own divine way and strengthen your word in our lives as we go forth this day. Have thine own divine way. Bless us and see us through. Thank you for the messenger this morning.
Bless
him. And we pray that you will continue to guide and direct him into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you.
Made him a blessing to others still.
mm-hmm.
when he got down to Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
God saw it all. So I just thank the Lord for that message. I thank the Lord. We can never get enough of the scriptures.
Right.
We've been studying now for, you know, I know I've been at it for 20-some years, getting towards 30 years of being saved.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read through the Bible a few different times now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still getting sweeter and sweeter as they eat more.
Oh, yeah.
You don't stop eating in the Norbate. Green still tastes good. Don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They still taste good. So the Word of God is really good. Or the week before, the Lord sent us a message throughout the week or next week, and it is still being good.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it is still filling.
Amen. Yeah.
I believe we got some food downstairs that is still going to be filling, even though we had some on Monday.
Yeah.
Amen. Some of the same food, right? Amen. Some of the same word. It is still filling. God knows how to fill us in time of need.
Yes. Amen.
I mean, that's the important thing, because we do need God
mm-hmm.
always in this life.
Because mm-hmm.
we're always going to be tempted by the enemy. He's not going to not tempt us. Look at Joseph. And he was truly a man of God that God loved and had a work for. But the enemy was definitely testing him from his brothers on down to Potiphar's wife, on down to the guys there in the prison that promised him they would give a word. He didn't say anything. All those were testing his life. But he stood for God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So we just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Any other testimony?
Yes. 581.
582. Oh, yeah. Amen. Which book is it?
The Bridges of
Love. Yes, Sister Carol. We said earlier, hey, those two brothers looked over at each other and said, hey, what do you want to sing?
Oh.
What do you want to sing? We're not through yet until the Lord is through. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And to worship the Lord?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
582. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
582. I'll give it the key. I haven't played it in a long time. Oh, I don't want to go through hitting all these wrong keys. It's a beautiful song.
Amen. Yes. Okay.
Might be a little too high.
You
may want to
pinch a
side.
Go stand. Amen.
I found a
say to new life sublime.
life now is sweet, and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. When poor and meek, and all alone, in love,
September the 17th, 2017, announcement, cottage meeting on Friday, September the 29th at 7 p.m. at Brother and Sister Carol's home. Please pray for this work. Food pantry, Saturday, September.